Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 297, When Your Dream is Dying. Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message on Sunday, January 22nd, 2023, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The presence of Jesus is here, the healing presence of Jesus is here. If you have anything, sickness, disease, weakness, infirmity, anything like that, just raise your hands and begin to receive right now. Begin to receive right now. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing presence flowing in this place. Your mighty healing presence flowing in this place. Healing hearts, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Healing diabetes, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing wave flowing over this congregation, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. Fibromyalgia is being healed right now. Stuck in here across the airwaves in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, for the power of your blood, for the broken body which was broken on the cross for us so that we could receive our healing, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Pain in the knees and in the legs and in the feet, healed by the mighty power of Jesus. Precious anointing from heaven keep flowing over this congregation, over the airwaves, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Over the live stream, Lord, on YouTube and on Facebook Live, Father. Thank you for the power and the presence of your Spirit, Lord. On the podcast, Lord, we thank you, Father. Migraines healed. Head pains healed. Eyes healed. Vision restored by the blood of Jesus. Cataracts dissolved in the name of Jesus. Internal organs healed in the name of Jesus. Cancers dropping off by the blood of Jesus and by the power of Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing manifestation, Lord. Flowing in this place and flowing across the internet, Lord. All for your glory, for your honor, for your praise, Lord Jesus. Let your healing flow, Lord, from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, Lord. Make this the year of healing and wellness and wholeness, Father God. Across this church family and across the body of Christ, let your healing flow, Father, in Jesus' name. A mighty healing wave, Father God. Freedom flowing, Father, from the heaven. Restoration, Father. Recreation, Father God. Creative miracles, Lord. Limbs growing out, Lord. Organs being replaced, Lord. Internal things, Lord, being fixed, Lord. Precious anointing from heaven, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. We give you praise, Lord. We give you thanks, Lord. We give you glory, Lord. Let your anointing destroy the yokes and lift the burdens today, Lord. Hearts healed, Lord. Wounds healed. Emotional wounds, Lord. Healed. Healing and restoration from heaven, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you're the reconciler. You reconciled us to the Father, and you've given us a ministry of reconciliation. We praise you, Lord God. We bring people to your feet, Lord Jesus. By the power of your blood that you shed on the cross of Calvary. Shakombri Makita Sandama Kantana Machakalede Bakotana Maha. Let every yoke be destroyed, Father God. Let every distressing, sinful habit be destroyed, Father. Because, Jesus, you came to destroy the works of the devil. Every addiction broken by the blood of Jesus and by the power of Jesus' name. Healing and deliverance coming by the power of the blood of Jesus and by the authority of his name. Be free now in the name of Jesus. Be healed now in the name of Jesus. Be delivered now in the name of Jesus. Every witchcraft power broken. Every occult practice broken by the blood of Jesus. Every occult assignment destroyed by the blood of Jesus. Every demonic witchcraft thing broken by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for healing and deliverance flowing, Lord. By the mighty power of your blood, by the authority of your precious name, Jesus. We lift you higher today, Jesus. We lift your name up today, Jesus. King of kings and Lord of lords and Lord of glory. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. The one who is soon to come again. We worship you and we praise you in this place today. For you are worthy to be praised, Lord. You are worthy to be glorified, Lord. You are worthy to be magnified, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. 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 Father, I thank you for each person that's here today and those attending, Father, online. I thank you, Father God, for touching hearts and lives and changing homes and families, Lord. I thank you for restoration of families today, Father God. For the mighty move of your Spirit in our families, Lord. For the power of the blood of Jesus touching every family member. Fresh anointing destroying the yokes and families, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise, Jesus. Kubri machika masala. Ida bachaka masada. Thank you, Jesus, for your word, your love, your power. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious anointing, destroying the yokes today. Now, demon powers, I'm speaking to you in the name of Jesus. You cease and desist your maneuvers against this people, against this church family, in the mighty name of Jesus. This year doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it belongs to his body. So back off and get out in the name of Jesus. You have no part or no lot in this because of the blood of Jesus. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. So get out now in the name of Jesus. Take your sickness, take your disease, take your sins, take your weakness in Jesus' name and get out by the blood of Jesus. Father, we ask you to make this a mighty year of deliverance and healing. Where freedom reigns in the lives of people. And we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, we give you all the praise, Lord Jesus, because you are worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said?
Amen.
And everybody said, I believe I receive.
I believe I receive.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.
You can be seated if you can, and here's Carissa. Can you give us a little more monitor up here?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I want to share with you like a vision that I saw when we were in worship. I want to tell everybody on the live stream, if you, since you weren't a part of this, we played this Jesus Image 2022 service that they had. I think it was in December. It's awesome. You got to look it up. The worship is amazing. But when we were worshiping, I could just see, it was kind of like this, like we had a ceiling above us. And the more we praised the Lord, it's like the ceiling just lifted, and it's like there was no limit. It was just the sky. And in that video, I mean, I've listened to it so many times, I haven't actually watched it. And in that video, they're actually outside. It looks like they're in a building, but they're actually outside. So it's like the same thing. Like, they're praising God, and there's this, it's just wide open sky. So I was like, that's so awesome. We have a weapon in praise. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The sky's the limit. There is no limit in Jesus' name. All right, so I have a message to share with you guys today. Praise the Lord. And that is that I felt in my spirit to share with you guys that God wants to use me to be his voice, his mouthpiece, to commission you guys today. And I didn't know that we were considering this day to be like a day of consecration. It's the first day after our fasting time. But this is a time where I feel like the Lord wants us to be commissioned, say, this is not the end, but it's only the beginning of more of what's to come. Praise the Lord. I was listening to a song the other day, and it said, you've come so far, keep going. And I feel like that was his message to us. We're not going to stay stagnant. We're going to keep going. He's commissioning us. And I said, Lord, I don't feel adequate in of myself to speak on behalf of you to my church and commission them to say that we have things that we need to do, and we need to be active in God's kingdom this year. We have so much work that we need to do. And I just felt like the Lord was like, Carissa, this is what I made you for this. And I felt like when we were in worship that I need to share with you, like, this is a year we all need to find out what is our purpose? What does God want to use you specifically for? And just step into it, you know? If you ever thought that I was ever comfortable up here, I would just tell you absolutely not, okay? I have to push back every temptation, every lie from hell that I'm not worthy, I'm not adequate, or whatever lie that God, that the devil has from the pit of hell. But we need to step into what God has for us this year. And it's in the stepping into it that you're going to realize and know that that is what God has for you. He wants to use you. But you got to say yes. You got to step into it and be willing and obedient. And through that, He's going to lead you. He's going to show you that this is the reason why I've made you. This is the reason why I've raised you up to be who you are, because you have a special plan. He has a special plan and purpose for each one of our lives. And we're all essential in the kingdom of God. And we need to step into our calling. We need to be on guard. We need to be diligent, and we need to be seeking him first, because it's time, you guys. We don't have any time. We don't have time to play in games. Amen. Well, I have a story I want to share with you guys. So this is about my son's basketball game the other day. I didn't tell him I was going to share this. But I want to give you guys a play-by-play, because it's so funny, because I can be out doing natural stuff and I see it all spiritually. Amen. I don't know exactly what they're doing in basketball, but I see something, okay? I see something's going on. So, okay. Here's my play-by-play, okay? The other day, my son has a basketball game, okay? First quarter, the opposing team looked like the Giants out in the land, okay? I'm like, holy smokes, okay? This is, we have competition, okay? And in the first quarter, the plays were moving so swiftly and so effortlessly. I'm thinking, if it continues on this, it's going to be like a record game. Like, they're going to win, score 100 points, and we're going to be at zero, okay? Because it was just moving so fast. Well, the quarter ended, and we were at score 20-2. We got 2 points, all right? It was not looking hopeful. But as I usually do when I'm out and about, I always have my earpiece in my ear, and I like to listen to music. And I felt the Holy Spirit gave me this song. It's not even a song I listen to usually, but it was The Comeback by Danny Gokey. And I started declaring, like, here comes the comeback, here comes the comeback. And I'm just getting into it, you know. And so I started declaring it for the team because they needed it, amen. Because we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And so I love watching my son play because it's just, wow, it's mesmerizing to me. I saw him started using strategies to keep the other team from scoring points. It's like, okay, well, if we're not going to score points, I'm going to keep you from scoring points and getting an advantage over us. And not only that, he's a point guard. So he's appointing the members on his team to do certain things so that, you know, they can work together and coordinate as a team. And I just saw that, like, that, like, that's us, right? You know, we're gonna push back the enemy. He's not gonna get an advantage over us. And we're gonna call on our brothers and sisters and say, come on, I need you. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. And it's strategic, right? Because we have an end goal. We're gonna finish the game. We're gonna finish strong, right? So the second quarter, much better, 22-11, right? Okay, so I noticed that the opposing team, they started off real strong, okay? But as time goes on, they're kind of getting tired. Like, oh, you didn't have as much perk as you did in the beginning when you made all those shots so effortlessly. Now you're slowing down a little bit, and it's, you know, things are evening out more, okay? But I began to really, like, marvel at my son because even though they were down so far towards the end, he did not relent. He didn't back down. He stayed strong and he persevered as if he was winning that game. I'm telling you what, it didn't matter to him. He wasn't looking at the scoreboard going, okay, we're going to lose. I might as well just forfeit, you know. He kept going strong. And as I began to meditate on that, I felt like the Holy Spirit impressed on us that it's not for us to emphasize as much as him winning as it is about him finishing the game strong. And I feel like that's the Lord's message to us today. Because first of all, in our walk with the Lord, we already have victory at the end, okay? Even in the moments of our lives that we don't feel victorious, you know, we still have victory because Jesus won the victory for us. And it's important that we finish our race and we finish the good fight of faith and finish strong. Amen. And I just saw that and I'm like, it was amazing to me to watch him play that out. And I'm like, that's us. Because even though it looks like we're in defeat, the winner in the end is the one who finishes the race. Who that's the one who gets the prize. Amen. It's not the one who gives up and sits on the sidelines, says, you know, forget this. I got no chance, right? So I have a couple scriptures to encourage you guys to go along with my story, okay? So first one is Philippians 3:14. I press on toward the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It is a honor to serve the Lord. It's an honor to be called by his name. Amen. We need to press forward. We have to keep going forward because we're victorious in him. 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So we need to run our race as if we're the only ones that's going to get that prize. And that doesn't mean that you're competing against your brother and sister. It just means you need to have your eyes on the prize as if you are the only one that's going to win it. And nobody's going to do it for you. Nobody's going to put the effort in for you. You got to get up. You got to get your running shoes on. You got to train. You got to get moving. Amen. Move, move, move. Forward movement. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished the race. I have kept my faith, kept the faith. That's the most important thing. At the end, we want to hear that well done, good and faithful servant. You've kept the faith. What is the one thing that pleases God? Faith. It's like the currency of heaven, amen? We need to keep our faith. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So how are we going to finish our race? We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. He's the author. He's the perfecter and the finisher of our faith. It's not us. We're not doing this, okay? We're keeping our eyes fixed. We're looking to him. But there also says something here that we need to do, and that's that we need to lay aside every weight in the sin which so easily ensnares us. Throw it off. We don't need it. It's a hindrance to our walk with God. One time, my son was flying a kite, and it was real windy, and I saw the string get wrapped around him, and I just saw this visual where it's like, if you were to just turn around and try to unwind yourself, that could take so long. It'd be a headache. But if you just picked it up and threw it off of you, how easy would that be? Amen? That's kind of like what I see when I think about sin. We need to just pick it up, you know, pick that thing up off of us, throw it off, because we can't have that. It's going to hinder us in our walk with the Lord. Psalm 16 and 8, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. We shall not be moved. When we look at the Lord, we always set him before us. He's our prize. We can't be moved in this walk. No moving, no shaking. We're firm. We're steady. We're unmovable in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain. Amen. We got to, again, don't let anything move you. Just fully devote yourself to what God is doing in your life and let him use you. Amen. I love this one because we're soldiers in God's kingdom. 2 Timothy 2:4. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Our work is to please the Lord. We're only looking at him. We can't be tangled up with the things of the world. You know, we were talking about that yesterday. You know, the things on the news, the things your coworkers are talking about at the water cooler. We don't have time for that. We have to keep our eyes fixed and forward. We don't have time to be getting tangled up with all that mess. Amen. My last scripture I want to share with you is Hebrews 10:19-25, and it's listed a call to persevere in faith. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. I wanted to share this because I wanted to encourage you that we all need one another in here. But when we hear each other's testimonies, and when I hear my sisters doing things for the Lord, that spurs me on. That's not a point to be jealous and say, well, I guess God can do that for them. He can't do it for me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. We need to look at one another, and when God's doing something amazing in our lives, we need to acknowledge that God can do that and greater in our own lives. We are sharpening each other, so we need to be looking at each other, encouraging each other, building each other up, and in the body of Christ. no putting each other down. There's no time to be jealous. We need to be encouraged, church. Amen. Praise God. And Jesus is coming back. So we got to get ready. We got to get ready. The bride is getting ready. Amen. So I want to pray for you guys for this commissioning that I feel like the Lord wants me to share with you guys today. So Father, I just thank you for this church body. I thank you, Lord, that you called us, you've chosen us for such a time as this, and that from this day forth, for this new year, 2023, that we accept your commissioning, Lord, that we say yes to you for all the days to come ahead, on the days where it's easy, it feels easy and it comes with the ease, and the days where we just ain't feeling it. We say yes to you, Lord. This is a day of consecration. This is a day where we give you that yes, Lord, in anticipation of what you're going to do, Father God. We thank you, Lord. And I pray that you build up each one of my brothers and sisters and spur them on today for new things, for new heights, for them to walk in new giftings and new talents, Father God. Show them who they are in you. Build them up in you, Lord. And don't let one moment go in vain, Father God. We want to serve you with our whole hearts, Father, and in your kingdom. And we bless you and we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Good to be with you here today. Jesus is awesome, and he's on the throne. Are you ready to give to God? All that he gives to us. He's such a giver. He gives, and he gives, and he keeps giving. So let's give back to him with awesome big hearts today. I want to talk about, just briefly, about setting your faith or releasing your faith. And it, Carissa was, I guess we say, in my notes, you know, kind of dancing around what also I wanted, what the Lord put on my heart to share today. So we know that faith, from Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for, the assurance about what we do not yet see. Sometimes we can't, well, faith, you can't see it. It's faith, right? It's the confidence in what we hope for, the assurance. There's no room for doubt or unbelief in assurance, right? Assurance is 100% assurance about what we do not yet see. So I like the term setting your faith, or some people say releasing your faith. And when I think about, you know, that word set, like when you set the table, you put stuff down, right? I'm going to set my faith. I'm going to put it right there. I'm going to have a place of contact. It's going to be like you can see it when I set my faith, right? So how can you see it? How can you hear it? Those are that's a clue. Setting your faith to me, or releasing your faith, means making a determination. You decide. This is what the word says, or this is what God has spoken to my heart. So this is what I'm deciding. This is my determination. I'm setting my faith right there. There it is, right? Based on the word of God, or the logos word, the written word of God, or the rhema word that he's spoken to me, and both together. It's powerful. So you make a determination. No matter what you see, no matter what you feel, no matter what it looks like, you set it there. You place it there. And how exactly does that work? Or how do you see evidence of that or hear evidence of that? By your words. That's a big thing that we talk about here, right? By the words that you speak. With the words that you speak, you're either releasing faith and lining up to what God says in his word and what he's spoken to your heart, or you're releasing fear and doubt and unbelief. So help us, Holy Spirit, to look at and hear the words that are coming out of our mouths, right? Because it's going to tell us where we're at. Am I in faith, or am I in fear and doubt and unbelief, right? So set your faith according to the word of God. I think of the woman with the issue of blood. She set and then released her faith, because Mark 5:28 in that story, it says, she said, if I may but just touch the edge of his clothes, I shall be whole. And she continued to say that on her way to press through the crowd to reach, to get to the edge of his garment. She set her faith and she released it with her words. And then what goes with the words? Actions. She said it. She made a determination. She spoke it, because the word says that she said that. And then her actions, right? She went out. She wasn't supposed to go out. She was unclean. She had been hemorrhaging for 12 years, right? Is that correct? I think it was 12 years. So her actions followed her words and her determination, what she had set. Through our actions and our words, we can set or release our faith. Not all the circumstances have to be looking fine, right, for us, or in line with what the word says or what you're believing for you to decide. That's what faith is. Let your faith, let the word of God decide, right? You know, I was in my time in Youth with a Mission, YWAM, as a missionary. I saw this lifestyle of faith all around me, lots, I guess all the time, I could say, in many different ways. And, you know, one of the ways that faith in this missionary community manifested itself would be, you know, missionaries who don't have the money would say, yeah, I'm going to China. Yep, God told me I'm going to China. Like, seriously, this whole team, you know, and maybe they had half the money or something. Yeah, I'm going. And they would go because they set their faith and then they worked toward it. They released their words. Yeah, you're going to China? Do you have the money? Well, God's going to provide. And they would do their possible. They set their faith, they released their faith, they would release it in words, and then they would do action, and they would walk out. Yes, I'm going. And don't you know, those people would be on that plane going to China, and it's like, whoa. And the building, I mean, I could give you so many examples. The buildings, you know, we had a campus of different buildings. They would say, you know, the leaders would say, yeah, we don't have all the money to do this building, but we're going to start. And so sometimes it would be, you know, like me coming in like, why is there a pile of bricks there? It's been there for 2 months, you know. Well, we've started in faith. We're waiting for the rest of the money to come in to keep going, to put the next brick, to put the next thing on. And so I saw that all around me lots of times. Set, make a determination. Speak, act, do your possible, and God comes through. So is it Sister Julie that's receiving the offering today? You can go ahead, and I'll just finish with this little testimony. You know, we just opened our rental property to be one side of it, of the duplex. We just recently opened as a vacation rental. And we were kind of scrambling for time to get it finished, and we had some delays with the repairs and working with other people, and we wanted to have it like done by Thanksgiving. Well, it didn't happen, and so that kind of got pushed back. And so then, you know, we said Santos really set his faith and said, no, it's going to be ready by Christmas time. It's going to be ready to rent out for people, you know, at Christmas time traveling and whatever. And so I was like, well, I don't know, but we'll work, you know. Okay, I joined faith because I learned that a few years ago. You could know the other testimony about selling the Mexican torta sandwiches, that God said if you can't join his faith, you're not going anywhere unless you go in unity. So I just said, okay, we'll do our possible and God will help us. And so we got it done. We got it fixed up, ready to go. And he said, yep, we're going to have a renter before the end of the year. Like, we're going to have our first customer before the end of the year. So we left town. We went to visit my family Christmas time. We were in New York State. And I remember the day we had just finished praying with our friends. They blessed us. We were staying with them. They blessed us. We had a 10-minute drive to go back to my parents' house. Ding! I get this message. So-and-so has booked with your rental. I'm like, whoa, this was like December 27th or something. Booked for 3 nights, 4 nights, whatever it was. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for giving me a husband that has faith, and he sets it and he releases it. And thank you that I shut my mouth and just went with it, because we're blessed. So you will be blessed when you release your faith. Let your words line up with that and your actions. You do your possible. God does the rest, and it's amazing. So with our finances, apply that to your finances and you'll see major miracles and God do what you didn't think that was possible. So let's bless these tithes and offerings. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are the best giver that there ever was. Thank you, Father, for how you generously gave us your son, Jesus, on the cross so that we could be free, free indeed, free of debt, free of sin, free of condemnation and all the things. Thank you, Father. We bless these tithes and offerings today for the extension of your kingdom, for growth in your kingdom. Thank you, Father God, for multiplying it back and blessing everyone who has given here in the sanctuary or online in the mighty, precious name of Jesus. We command these offerings to grow and multiply in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, sister. Okay. It's time for, yes, time for the word.
All right. Praise the Lord, everybody. Just stand for a second. You've been sitting a little bit. Praise God. Wasn't that awesome worship and praise this morning? Ooh, glory to God. We'll get a little bit more at the end here. But Father, I just thank you for this congregation. I thank you for this church family, Lord. I thank you for their love, their support, their compassion, their love for you and their love for others. I thank you, Father, that they're a church that goes, equips, and loves. And I ask you, Father God, that this year be the best year ever for all of them, Father. That they see their families and loved ones touched by the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. That they advance in the things of the kingdom, Father, and are blessed in the things that are in this world, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to bless them to be a blessing. And I ask for your anointing, your precious anointing from heaven to fill their lives. Your presence to fill their lives every day as they worship you and seek your face. Lord, let this be a year that makes a difference and let it be a year that we mark on the calendar as a year of turnaround, a year of breakthrough, and a year of victory. And for it, we give you thanks and glory and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. I want to speak to you about your dreams today. When it seems like your dreams are dying. Holding on to your dreams requires trust in Jesus. If God has given you a dream and you're ready to bury it, you need to remember that Jesus is with you and he is in you. He's willing to save your dream. Man's answer would be weeping, wailing, despair, maybe despondency. His answer would be giving up, quitting, throwing in the towel. But Jesus' answer is bold faith. If your dream is dying or it's already dead, get rid of the interruptions and the distractions that take you away and focus on Jesus. Carissa said a little while ago from that scripture, you know, that we should look to Jesus, the author, the developer, the finisher of our faith. If your dream is dying, you need to do something. You need to take action. You need to get rid of those things and follow Jesus, who is the answer. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Throw out the mockers, the scorners, and the naysayers and surround yourself with people of faith. Surround yourself with faith. Surround yourself with the Word of God because it's full of faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. So let it go. Let Jesus fill your life with faith. And raise your dream from the dead in Jesus' name. I want to share with you a scripture from Acts chapter 2 as we start this message. Verse 17 says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out of my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out of my spirit, even on my servants and my men and women alike, and they will prophesy. I like that verse because it's not gender specific. It's this, you know, sometimes people say, well, it's a man's world. Some of the ladies say, I can't get ahead. But this says that this is for the sons and the daughters. This is for the young and the old. Some people say, I'm too old or I'm too young. You're not too young and you're not too old. You're only as old as you feel, as you think you are, as you declare you are. So my pastor used to say, put some color in your hair, your gray heads, and get out and go and do something. I try to follow that as closely as I can. Praise the Lord. So God has given us life so that we can go out and have victory. And he's given us a dream so that we have something to hook our faith to for something to achieve. But maybe your dreams are dying. Maybe they're going away. Maybe they've been stuffed away a long time ago. Maybe you gave up a long time ago. But today is a day to retrench, to get that dream dusted off, and to go for it, to really pick yourself up and say, you know what? God and I are a majority. The rest of it doesn't matter. He makes me the victory. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb, and the words of my testimony are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, who loves me and gave himself for me. And if you can do that and begin to say those things over yourselves, even if it doesn't feel right, even if it doesn't seem right, even if it seems like everything is lost, you'll find something happening to you. On the inside of you, faith will begin to rise. There'll begin to be the seeds of revelation will begin to grow inside of you, and you'll begin to walk out of that place of darkness that you're in, that place of despair, that place of gloom, and out of that fog, and begin to march forward through the power of the blood of Jesus and through the power of his name. You know, there was some political sayings, yes, we can, and things like that. Well, believers need to say, yes, we can, because you and Jesus, you can. It doesn't matter if everybody else agrees with you or doesn't agree with you. If you and Jesus agree, it can be done. If you and Jesus agree, you can go forward. You don't have to go backward. You don't have to stuff your dreams. You don't have to put them aside. You can resurrect them, dust them off, make them fresh, refresh them on the inside of you, and begin to take ground for the glory of God and for his kingdom. So has God given you a dream and you're ready to bury it? Are you frustrated? Are you full of frustration? Are you letting anger overtake you, or disappointment or disillusionment? God has an answer. He has a solution. So not so fast. Jesus is here. He's here to help you. He sent the Holy Spirit here to help you. So pick it up, dust it off, and let's go forward in Jesus' name. So I want to take you through a story in the book of Mark that kind of illustrates some of these things that will help you to get to that place where you just come out of the funk, come out of the discouragement, come out of the dismay, the disillusionment, frustration, and all those things, and get your life on course with Jesus. Praise the Lord. So Mark chapter 5, I want to start. I'm starting around verse 21 just to give some context. It says that Jesus got into a boat and went back to the other side where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. So Jesus, you know, sometimes people just say, well, Jesus was God. You know, he does everything. He knows everything. So he does everything well. But the word of God says, really, that Jesus was born as a man. He's human just like you were human. He was tempted just like you're tempted. He had to sleep. He had to eat. He got hungry. He fasted and he got hungry. Anybody fast and get hungry? But Jesus was the same. You know, the Bible says after he did the long fast, the 40-day ones with just water, presumably up on the mountain, probably nobody was bringing him any food, but he more than likely had water. It says after his fast and the devil came and tempted him and all that stuff and he overcame the temptations, it says the angels came and sustained him or fed him. And out of that angel food, he went down the mountain and began to do some really amazing things. He called his disciples and all of those things, and they started marching forward for the kingdom of God. So he was just like you. I mean, he had weak moments because he had a physical human body. And so, I mean, he couldn't just go. He wasn't the ever-ready bunny, you know, just on go. He had to rest. He took time away to be with God. He took time to refresh himself. He came back and he ministered to his disciples. He led an active life. He was busy. He never was just, you know, taking days off and sloughing off. But he experienced world just like you and I experience world, you know. Sometimes we think, well, it's just all supernatural. Well, it wasn't just all supernatural. You know, he had to, I guess they didn't wear pants in those days, but he had to put his robe on or something, you know. And he had to clean it once in a while, I'm sure. because it was, I've been in Israel a lot of times. It's dusty, it's dirty, sometimes it's nasty, and sometimes there are windstorms, and you know, you get dirty out there in the streets. But we don't think about Jesus that way. We just think about him as superhero, you know. Nothing ever went wrong for him. You know, just everything was easy for him. But it wasn't easy for him. He had to live by faith just like you live by faith. He had to live by the anointing of the Holy Spirit just like you live by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Peter said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. So there's the key and there's the secret. If you can do things when God is with you, you can overcome any obstacle. You can be like Jesus in that sense. You can even be the Jesus to somebody else in that sense because Jesus lives inside of you. And that's what God wants us to do. But when you're down under it and you've given up all your dreams and you've given up all your hope and you're just frustrated, angry, and bitter, you know, you're not going anywhere. You might be going somewhere, probably in a circle. You know, because that's what happened to the children of Israel when they disobeyed God and they got into trouble and they got into funk and they got into despair. They just took another march around the desert. They did it for 40 years. Some of them didn't even make it to the promised land. Their kids made it, but they didn't. I don't want to be like that. At the end of my life, I want to say, well, God, I lived a good life. I fulfilled the destiny that you gave me, and now I'm ready to go home. Come and get me. When I'm finished, I want to be going. Amen? So we have hope in Jesus. Our hope is in Jesus. It's not in the circumstances we happen to be going through at the moment. Our trust is in Jesus. Our trust isn't in people to bail us out. Our trust isn't in people to, you know, make the way for us so that we have it easy. Our trust is in Jesus, and he'll give us every step of the way if we go that way. So anyway, we want to go through this story, what happened when Jesus had this large crowd around him. So the first thing is, it says in verse 22 that a leader from the local synagogue, his name was Jairus, arrived. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. You know, desperate situations sometimes kill your dreams. Have you found that out? You know, you get into a place of, it's been too long, it's been too strong, it's been too whatever, it's too heavy, and you start to get desperate. And desperation kills your dreams. You know, sometimes people say, well, if you just get desperate enough, you'll find Jesus. Well, a lot of people get desperate and never find Jesus. They kill themselves. They commit suicide. They do crazy things. So that isn't the answer. Desperation doesn't bring faith. Well, the Word of God brings faith. People encouraging you, lends support to your faith. You know, people can't have faith for you. You have to have your own faith. You have to get it yourself because faith comes by hearing and hearing comes through the Word of God. Sometimes people say, I just need to pray that I get more faith. Well, you can pray till you're blue in the face. You're not going to get any more faith because it doesn't come by praying. I know Jesus said, ask and it will be given you. But there's a principle that you have to follow when it comes to faith. It's hear the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God does something on the inside of you. It brings revelation. You know, you can probably remember, maybe you should remember, when you were in the process of coming to Jesus, when you were getting saved, so to speak. That's the term we use, getting saved or get saved or get born again. When you were coming to Him, people were probably witnessing to you, or you saw a gospel message on some kind of media, or you went to a meeting somewhere and somebody preached the gospel, presented it in a clear way. And one day, you know, maybe it didn't happen the first time you heard it, but one day something happened on the inside of you. Revelation began to come. And then you found out through the simplicity of the gospel, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you confess with your mouth his lordship, in other words, you put him in the driver's seat of your life, you would be saved. And the lights came on. That's the seed of the Word doing something on the inside of you, because the Holy Spirit takes that seed, he makes it germinate, makes the plant begin to grow, and then one day you see the full-blown plant, the born-again person. Amen? So for some of us, it was a process. Some of it was like, wow, I didn't see that before, but I sure see it now. Thank God for that. But whatever your experience was, it came by hearing the word of God. You know, sometimes people say, well, if God wanted everybody saved, he could just make them get saved. It's not going to happen that way, because Jesus went to the cross and paid a really high price for you to be not just saved, but to be a witness for him to all the world. The Bible says when the power of the Holy Spirit comes on you, he'll make you a witness to your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You've got a calling on your life. Maybe you don't think you have a calling. Maybe Carissa was saying, you know, I didn't really feel qualified to do this. But if you've got a calling on your life, God will put you in places where you can use that calling, and that anointing begins to come out. And, you know, God will bless you in that. And you might be disappointed, like you've been left behind and your dreams are all dead, but you don't have to leave them there. So that was the case with this leader. You know, his dream was his daughter. He had a little daughter who was dying. It says in verse 23, he was pleading fervently with him, "My daughter is dying. My little daughter is dying. Please come and lay your hands on her and heal her so she can live." So that was a pretty desperate situation, but I want to tell you something. It wasn't his pleading that got the attention of Jesus. You know, sometimes we're just begging Jesus, "Oh, Jesus, please take this away from me. Please help me. Please help me. Please help me. Please help me." And nothing's happening, because many times when we're doing that, we're in that situation, there's no faith involved. There isn't any faith there. And he's looking for at least one spark of faith. But this man, it wasn't because of his desperate pleading. Just take a look at his faith. He said this, "Please come, lay your hands on her." That was his plea. But he said, "Heal her so she can live." His trust was that Jesus is the healer. How did he come to that place of trust? Because somebody told him, right? Somebody said, you know, there's Jesus. He's the healer. People are going to him and getting healed. People everywhere are being healed. Sometimes he heals them all. It's amazing what Jesus has been doing. He's been going around the villages and teaching and preaching and healing the sick. Evidently, Jairus, who was a leader, a religious leader, many of them rejected Jesus, so he wasn't surrounded by people of faith. He was surrounded by the naysayers, the ones that hated Jesus, the ones that wanted to put Jesus to death, the ones that didn't want Jesus to take away their place and their power with Rome. But this guy was different, because when he heard about Jesus, faith began to rise. And when he got into a desperate situation, he knew where to go. He knew to go to Jesus. You can do the same thing. If your dream is dying, or if you think it's dead, maybe you've already buried it. Let's raise it from the dead today. Amen? Praise the Lord. Verse 24 says, Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. Jesus is willing to save your dream. You have to get to that point, because if you don't get to that point, you have no basis for faith. You know, if you just say, Jesus can do anything, God can do anything, he's a miracle worker, he can do anything. But if you don't believe that he's willing to do it for you, your faith is sunk before you even start. So turn to your neighbor and say, he's willing. Jesus is willing. Say it again. Jesus is willing. Now say it like you mean it. Yes. Well, I mean, you know, wake up. He's willing. He's willing. If he's not willing, then you're not going to get it, right? I mean, if he wasn't willing, you'd be going against the will of God. Amen? So now, I'm making a presumption when I'm talking about your dream. You know, if you're dreaming about marrying somebody else's husband or wife or something like that, you know, that's... I want to tell you a little story. There was a famous minister that was ministering when I was with my pastor, Dr. Lester Sumrall. And he was single, and he was a very handsome young man, and he was a good preacher. I mean, he was anointed, he was good looking, and he knew the word of God. He had miracles, healings, and got a big television ministry. And needless to say, a lot of ladies, you know, wanted to have this man as their husband. And so they were naming and claiming they were going to have him as a husband, and did all kinds of crazy things, to put themselves in the position to be there to be the bride-to-be. But the thing was, is that he had a long-standing friendship with a lady in his church, and then became engaged to be married. But these unrelenting ladies never quit, even after that. And they still did their thing to try to get the attention of the preacher. Now, that's not a dream worth going for, because it's not going to happen. Not under God's green earth is that going to happen. So if your dream isn't from God, I'm not talking to you today. But if you've got a dream from God that's legitimate, a dream that's placed in your heart by him, a dream that he's okay with, that's in line with his will, in line with his word, you can have your dream come true. Amen? Because Jesus will restore it. He'll even raise it from the dead for you. Praise the Lord. So, that being said, let's go on with the story. In verse 24, it says, Jesus went with him, and the people followed, crowding around him. He's willing to save your dream. And then just for contextual purpose, I'll refer to what happened next. The next thing that happened was the woman with the issue of blood that Pastor Sarah was talking about a few moments ago interrupted this whole process of Jesus going to heal this sick daughter. She came and she pressed through the crowd and so forth. She told some of the stories. So I'm not going to retell it. But that was a huge distraction. Remember, the man said, my daughter is dying. Now, that's pretty serious. He didn't say, my daughter's been given only 6 weeks to live, 12 weeks to live, a month to live, 15 days to live. The doctor says she is dying. That means every moment lost, that girl is losing her life. And Jesus is supposed to come and heal the dying girl, right? So that's a huge distraction. But all interruptions and distractions are not necessarily of the devil. Because sometimes God has a purpose. And in the midst of this distraction, this huge distraction, this woman who's been bleeding to death, hemorrhaging to death for 12 years, gets a magnificent healing. And not only that, it's put in what we call the Bible, the scriptures, and it's a story that inspires our faith and that has set a lot of people free. Not because they could touch the physical hem of Jesus' garment, but because their faith could reach out and take a miracle for themselves. Just think what a piece of the Bible would be missing if that story wasn't in there. That interruption is a piece of faith for generations to come and generations past who have held on to that and received their miracle from God. So sometimes, we see distractions and interruptions as terrible. I mean, this is devastating because, my dream is dying. This man's little dream was dying. And he had to sit by the side and watch Jesus, talk to his disciples, talk this through. Somebody's touching me. Somebody's, whatever. And disciples arguing with him. What do you mean? You're crazy, Everybody's touching you. The crowd is surrounding you. Everybody's pressuring you. What do you mean somebody's touching you? And they're having all of this chit-chat and conversation. And the father is sitting there thinking, you know what? My daughter is dying. I want Jesus on the road again. Would you guys please just shut up? Let him do his miracle and let's go. I mean, he could have gotten mad. He could have gotten bitter. But he didn't, evidently. He just stood by and waited patiently. Maybe that's where you are with your dream. Maybe you're standing beside looking to Jesus. Your dream is going down the drain. Or your dream died, years ago and you haven't even thought about resurrecting it. And you think Jesus is just sitting there chit-chatting and having fun. Because he's up in heaven sitting on the throne. you know, drinking Kool-Aid or something. I don't know what he drinks up there. New wine, I guess, probably. Because the Bible says we're going to have a banquet, and it's going to be full, and the table's going to be spread. We're going to have a great time. So one day we'll get to see what goes on up there. Right now we're just looking from a distance and reading it in the Bible and saying, man, that's better than at my house. Amen. So Jesus wants to save your dream, but sometimes it's a process because he's working something on the inside of you. He's not saying to you, no, I'm not willing. He's not saying to you, no, I'm not going to help you. He's not saying, no, I'm not going to raise your dream from the dead. He's not saying, no, I'm not going to heal your dream and bring it back. But sometimes he's waiting for something to happen inside. And I think that's the case with his father. You know, this guy was a religious guy. He should have been out healing people, not waiting for Jesus to do it. He's surrounded by people who hate Jesus. So Jesus probably doesn't even know him. He just knows he's Jairus, the big shot at the synagogue. So maybe he's checking him out, see what's inside of him. So he's not worried about it anyway, because he's a person of faith. So sometimes people try to make their emergency your emergency. If you've ever ministered to people, you know that happens. And, you know, you can have compassion for emergencies and you can have compassion for people, but it isn't always possible to respond to an emergency except in faith and prayer. Amen? So we don't put people off, or we don't just say, oh, well, it's not my problem. The Bible says if somebody has a burden, get under the burden, lift it off of them. Amen? Because that's what we're here to do. It's because we're people of prayer, we're people of faith, and we want to bless people and be a blessing to them. We want to see them get their answers to prayer. We want to see them lifted out of situations, circumstances, and stuff that's harmful to them or that's devastating to them or that causes desperation and all the frustration and other things we just talked about. So Jesus didn't have any less compassion for this man at the beginning than he did at the beginning when he said, let's go. He still loved the man. He loved the daughter. And he still was determined, I'm going to save this man's dream. So, praise the Lord. So the last thing he said to the woman that came up and touched him, I think this is important, because look at it this way. We get to read the story about the woman with the issue of the blood. The man that wanted Jesus to save his dream girl was standing there watching this story unfold. So if faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God, and Jesus was the Word made flesh, and Jesus was acting out this story right in front of that man, he was getting an illustrated sermon, and he was catching the Word of God. So this is what Jesus said to the woman who pressed through and touched him. He said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Or go in shalom. The word shalom, the Hebrew word shalom, means nothing missing, nothing broken. That was good news to that woman. She had spent all the money that she had on doctors, and the Bible said she didn't get better. She only got worse. Maybe that's like your dream, right? So this man was experiencing exactly what that woman experienced in a different way. Nothing could help his daughter. She was only getting worse, and not only that, she was dying, just like that woman was dying. So he had a faith illustration standing right in front of him to build his faith to a place where he could get his daughter back if he would just get into that place of faith. Amen? But then things turned worse. The Bible says in verse 35, while he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, and they told him, your daughter's dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now. That's not good news. And that's not encouragement either. You know, these guys didn't have a lesson. They didn't have a Bible school lesson in the prophetic, you know. But the prophetic is supposed to be edifying, exhorting, and comforting, right? But these were the men from his, you know, these were the religious men from his house. And this was the way they comforted him. Your daughter's dead. Forget it. Tell the master he didn't have to come. Just call it all off. We called the mourners. They're already there. We have to bury this woman in 24 hours because that's the custom there still today. There's no use. Forget it. Just come on home. Your wife needs you. So the question is, though, when things get worse for you, how do you deal with the bad news? What do you think? What are you going to say? Are you going to give up on Jesus just because you got bad news? Are you going to let your hope go down the drain because these guys said it's too late, it's too little, too bad, sorry, nobody can help you? Or are you going to be a person of faith like that woman who had no hope really in the natural, who just pressed through and got the huge miracle? She said to Jesus, I feel in my body I've been healed. For 12 years I've been bleeding to death. And I'm well. Hallelujah. Shaking and trembling because she shouldn't be in that crowd. She got the biggest miracle. And that man, he got to see it. Wouldn't have you liked him in on that road? Yeah. Instead of arguing with Jesus, saying, my God, this woman got a miracle. Hallelujah. Look at that. 12 years. Spent all she had. Got worse. I just got to see the miracle of a lifetime. I just got to see Jesus in action. Wouldn't that be a faith booster, do you? Praise the Lord. Verse 36 says, Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just have faith. Some version says, fear not, only believe. Just don't be afraid, just have faith. Now you see the importance of the interruption, because the interruption was a faith lesson. And that man had a choice to make right then. Was he going to be a person of faith that got a miracle like that woman just got? Or was he going to let it go and believe those guys that came and said, sorry, too late? How's it with your dream? Are you listening to those that say, sorry, it's too late, too little, can't happen, won't happen for you, maybe happen for the preacher, not happening for me? Faith works for him, faith works for them, faith works for that person. Does it work for me? It's a choice. Where are you going to put yourself? So this morning, I'd like you to put yourself in the shoes of that man. Especially if your dream has been buried, or even if it's dying. Just put yourself in his shoes for a moment. Jesus turns to him and says, don't be afraid. Fear will destroy your dream. Fear will bury your dream. Fear will bury you. Fear is the opposite of faith. It takes a hold of bad things, just like faith takes a hold of miracles and begins to manifest them in your life. So instead of getting better, like that woman, you can spend all you had, get everything worse. You can spend all your energy, you can spend all your time, you can spend all your money, and only get worse. But it's a choice, because you have the same story that that man saw illustrated, and you can be a person of faith if you choose. So the Bible doesn't say exactly how he responded, but we know from the Bible that he didn't not go. At least he had enough faith to say, okay, Jesus, you're in charge, you're the boss. Do you have that much faith? In your circumstance, in your situation, do you have enough faith to say, Jesus, you're in charge? I'm following you. Thick and thin, up and down, big and little. I'm going to follow you. I don't care what those guys said. I don't care what people think. I don't care what people say. I love people, but if they're not going to be faith around me, I don't have to listen to them. My ears are not a trash can for somebody else to dump their garbage. So I'm not taking it. So verse 37 gives you some information on how to handle these situations. It says Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anybody go with him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. There's no room for a crowd of unbelief when your dream is under attack. Evidently, out of that whole crowd of people, Jesus could only find three that would believe with him for a miracle. Remember, he was surrounded, and Peter, James, and John, the ones who were saying, everybody is touching you. There's a huge crowd here. You're being smashed in here, and you're saying, who's touching me? None of those people had the touch of faith, except for one woman. And Jesus didn't trust any of them with a miracle except for Peter, James, and John. There's no room for that crowd of unbelief around you if you want to save your dream. Verse 38 says, they came to the home of the synagogue leader. Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. He went inside and asked, what is all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead, she's only asleep. That's pretty crazy. But Jesus isn't looking at the situation, the circumstances. We look at the situation, the circumstances, and we're drowning in them, man. We're up to our neck underwater, and it's coming up towards our nose in the circumstances. And Jesus said, your dream isn't dead, it's sleeping. It's not dead, it's sleeping. Nita, you're in your 90s. Maybe some of your dreams haven't come true yet, but I can guarantee you they're not dead. They're only sleeping. And for as many years as you have life and breath, you're going to see those dreams come true. You're going to see your dreams for your daughters. You're going to see your dreams for your family, for your grandkids, and for yourself. Before you take an exit. Amen. I believe it. Praise the Lord. So, what do? Verse 40 says, the crowd laughed at him. Other versions said, they scorned him. They mocked him. But he made them all leave. And he took the girl's father and mother and the three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. I can't emphasize it enough. Who you surround yourself is the key to keeping your faith so that you can receive your dream miracle. But it's a choice. You choose who you're going to surround yourself with. You choose what you're going to put up with. You choose what you're going to listen to. You choose what you're going to look at. You choose it all. It's a choice. It's your choice. There can be people around you that are saying to you, don't look at that. They might be saying, don't hang around those people. They might be saying, you know, here's a way that you can go. But none of them are going to make you do it. They can't make you do it because you have your own will. You make your own choices. My pastor used to say, you make your decisions, and your decisions make you. So make some good ones today about your dream. Make some determinations today about your dream. It's going to be different this time. It's going to be different now. Maybe I missed it in the past, but today is a new day. This is a new year. We're on the march. We're going forward. We're not looking backward. Put the ashes behind you. And take on beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, Get up out of that stuff and surround yourself with faith and power of God and the anointing presence of the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Verse 40, the crowd laughed at him. Verse 41, holding her hand, Jesus said to her, Talitha cum, which means, little girl, get up. I don't know exactly how he said it. I would have loved to have been there. Wouldn't you love to be Peter, James, and John, or the parents, and say, wow, he just said get up to a dead girl. One word from Jesus will quell your anxieties and your fears because it's a word of faith. And he's speaking that word to you today over your dream. He's saying, don't let it die. Don't be afraid. Only believe. And he's speaking life where there was death. He's speaking life where there was dying. He's speaking life where there was no hope. He's speaking life to your dream and say, keep it. It's yours. I've given it to you. It belongs to you. It's not too late. I'm never late. And I'm never too late. Remember, I'm the miracle-working Jesus. How God went about, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Likely, what's killing your dream is oppression of the devil somewhere, somehow. I don't know your situation, your circumstance exactly, but I do know the enemy. I have some experience with him. I know how he works. You know, when my pastor cast the devil out of that girl in the Philippines, the one that was bitten by demons, when he went the first night and she had some modicum of deliverance, all of the newspapers said, the devil is dead. So he had to straighten him out and say, that's not true. The devil is not dead. He is not dead, and the girl isn't set free yet, but tomorrow she will be. And she was. Never give up. Always believe. Exercise your faith and believe the words of Jesus. Little girl, get up. Say to your dream this morning, little dream, get up. That wasn't very convincing. Let's try it again. Little dream, get up. That's much better. I think you're getting it. Praise the Lord. Verse 42 says, and the girl who was 12 years old immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anybody what had happened, and then he told them to give her something to eat. He told them to give her something to eat. Dead little girls don't eat food. Your dead little dreams don't eat food either. He's waiting on you today. What are you going to do about it? So when your dream is dying, what do? Number one, make your request in faith. In James, there's a really important scripture, James 1, verse 5 and 6. It says, if any man lacks wisdom, but you could put anything in there for that word wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing, though. If you have wisdom, you'll know how to act on your knowledge, your understanding. But if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Just think about that. That's God's promise to you. If you ask, he says, if you ask of God, he'll give wisdom liberally without reproach. In other words, he's not holding anything back, and he's not criticizing you for where the place you're at, right? There's no reproach to it. He's not saying, well, you know, I'd do this for you, but you're kind of a crazy person. You're a nutcase. And some people can't be helped. He's not doing that, amen? He's looking you in the eye, and he's saying, ask, and I'll give it to you liberally. You know what liberal is? Now, I'm not talking politically, okay? You know what liberal is? Liberal means you're generous. Right. You're a generous person, right? In this sense, in the sense that's being used in here. He'll give to you generously, you could say, and not criticize you, and it will be given to you. But look at verse 6. It says, but let him ask in faith, no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave driven and tossed by the wind, the person who doubts. So he says, when you ask, come in faith, is what he's saying. So remember the woman with the issue of the blood, you know, the faith and the message Pastor Sarah just taught you about pressing in. Faith. Faith works. He said, ask in faith, because the next verse says, don't let that person think he'll get anything that he asks. The person who's been teeter-tottering, tick-tocking, Snapchatting, back and forth, up and down. He's looking for faith. Amen? So, make your number one, make your request in faith. Number two, trust in Jesus' willingness to help you. I talked about that a little bit before. Just trust him. How do you trust him? Like the paratrooper trusts his parachute. You pull the ripcord, the chute opens. You go down to the ground gently. Because if your chute doesn't open, you're going to shoot to the ground like a stone. But when you trust in Jesus like you trust a parachute and say, Jesus, my dream doesn't look so good, but I'm pulling the ripcord. Amen. Number three, when interruptions and distractions come, focus on Jesus, the answer. That's the key to getting through, all the stuff that's going on around you that's pulling you every direction. The key is keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. I wish I could sing that better, but you get the point, right? Because he is wonderful. And he will help you. Number four, when negative feedback comes your way, don't be afraid, just believe. That's what he said to the man, right? So you can get a lot of negative reports. All of us do. That's part of life. There are not a lot of positive people around. I mean, if you don't believe me, go to your workplace. Glory to God. But don't be afraid. Just believe. Remember, your dream's at stake. And if you want to hang on to your dream, there aren't many other ways. I mean, you can do your best, but your best probably got you where you are now. Amen? Your best thinking, your best efforts, your best everything. And now you have to trust in Jesus. Amen? So don't despair. Number five, silence the mockers and the scorners and surround yourself with faith. There's some people, there's only two words you can tell them. Shut up!
That's right.
Because they're taking you down with your dream and their dreams. I mean, sinners will be what sinners will be. They'll do what they do, so you can't help what other people say. But you can silence their mocking and their scorning. I like Jesse Duplantis. I think he's a funny minister. People criticize him, but that's okay. But he said he was in an elevator one day, and this guy was just cursing and up a storm, one thing and another, and they were going down. So finally he just turned to the guy and said, Hallelujah! Glory to God! He said, well, you had your time, now I get mine. Silence the mockers and scorners. Do what it takes, amen? Praise God. Number six and the final point, speak faith words over your dream. Speak your faith. You know, you got saved that way. You had to believe something in your heart, and you had to confess something with your mouth, or you wouldn't be saved today. You wouldn't even be in this room today. Maybe you on internet land wouldn't be watching this today. Speak faith over your dream. Speak the word of God over your dream. Speak words of faith over your dream. If you can find somebody who will agree with you in faith, get in agreement with them. Get them to agree with you. The Bible says where two should agree is touching anything they ask, it shall be done for them of our Father which is in heaven. That doesn't leave any room for it not happening, does it? Amen? So you have lots of things in your arsenal because Jesus wants the dream he put in your heart to be saved. Maybe you made some mistakes along the way. Forgive yourself. Get up, dust yourself, and don't look back. Amen? Because if you dwell on your mistakes, your past, you'll never step into your future. And you'll never see a dream come true. Today is a new day. You get a chance to start over if you have to. Or to continue on if you've been on the road. But don't let your dream die. Because Jesus doesn't want it to die. He's given you that dream. It's from heaven. So speak positively over it. Praise the Lord. So what do we take away from all this? Well, that last verse, it says, Jesus told them to give her something to eat. So what do we take away from this? If you want to keep your dream alive, feed it and nurture it. It's hungry. It's been starving. No wonder it died or is dying. Some of you have been fasting purposely, and you found out it takes more than that to die. You're all here this morning. Missing a couple of meals is not going to kill you. Missing 21 days of meals is not going to kill you. But today, feed yourself something. This is day 22. And keep your dream alive while you're doing it. Amen. That's why it's a day of rejoicing. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.